Welcome to the official podcast of Cryptids, Anomalies, and the Paranormal Society. This is Whispers from the Dark. Hello and welcome to Whispers from the Dark. I am your host, Barnaby Jones, and man, let me tell you, it has been a while. It has been a long time since we have had a whisper in the dark, but I'm back for today. I have had so much stuff going on. We at Cryptids, Anomalies, and the Paranormal Society, we have had so much things just... It's been busy, and that is why there's not been a Whispers from the Dark. I mean, we have been at so many conventions and on the road and filming so much content for you guys. We have so many new shows coming out, and it's a lot. It is really a lot, guys. Let's get into this. So first off, On the Trail of Undiscovered Beasts, season two is finally in production. We have been filming all kinds of stuff. We are bringing in some stuff from past locations that we've gone to that is unreleased. We have some guest stars that are going to be on this episode or this season as well. And you can only find On the Trail of Undiscovered Beasts on Paraflix Paranormal Plus. It is the streaming platform of all things paranormal and cryptid and woo and fantastic. And if you're listening to this podcast, obviously you are going to want to check that out because you're definitely interested in this. If you are not a subscriber, help us out. Help Caps out. Because if you go to our website, wisconsingaps.com, and click on the Paraflix link there, it is a special link. And if you are a brand new subscriber, you sign up, we get a kickback off of that because you subscribe from our website. And if you want a kickback, all you have to do is when you click the link on wisconsincaps.com for Paraflix Paranormal Plus streaming platform, you can also use promo code CAPS10. And that'll give you 10% off your first 3 months of Paraflix Paranormal Plus streaming. That's right. All for you. So, that helps us out. That helps you out. And you get to check out season two, which will be coming in 2024. It's not ready yet, but it is in production right now. We are editing. We are working on that. So season two, season one, man, if you haven't seen season one is all about Bigfoot in Wisconsin. Season two, we are going outside of Wisconsin down to, I can't tell you yet, but we are outside of Wisconsin. We are going to several locations. We are going to be, I'll tell you, we're going to be down in Kentucky, in Tennessee, in Missouri, in Ohio. We're all over in this season. So it's going to be fun. It's going to be a lot of educational Bigfoot researchy stuff. And you're going to see some familiar faces from the CAPS team and some other familiar faces that, it'll be cool. So go check that out. On the Trail of Undiscovered Beasts, season two, coming to Paraflix. Also, guys, look at this. We have new merchandise on our website, wisconsincaps.com. Click on Shop Our Store or tpublic.com/user/ Wisconsin, spelled out CAPS, C-A-P-S. So WISCONSINCAPS. And, Yep. You can get all of your stuff there. We got some cool new paranormal shirts there. We got some new stuff for the Haydn exhibition coming on tour in 2024 here. I have been hard at work at that. Let me tell you, we have some big stuff coming with that. And if you're not a fan of us on all of our social media platforms, make sure you check us out. You can find Whispers from the Dark on its own social media service there on Facebook. Otherwise, Wisconsin Caps at Patreon, Facebook, Twitter, TikTok, and YouTube, or WI Caps on Instagram. So you can find us there. This is super exciting. This is one of the reasons why we have not had Whispers from the Dark for a while and why I have been so busy. Finally, I have gotten Bigfoot is Hiding completed, and it is available for order on Amazon.com. Bigfoot is Hiding, H-Y-D-E-N. And so this is a labor of love right here. This is Craig Salk wrote the original Bigfoot is Hiding book, and he was working on book two when he passed away. So Bigfoot is Hiding on Amazon, available now, is his first book, his second book that was never published, and a third book that was written by myself all about everything that has happened on the property since he has passed away. So this is over 10 years of evidence and research and Bigfoot material from the Hiding Adventure just outside of Menominee, Michigan. And it is tons of Bigfoot and weird, and a full color book, 248 pages. It is a big book. Ooh, I have a copy right here. I can actually show you. So this is the book. It is big. It is thick. And if you're just listening to this on a podcast platform, obviously you can't see it. I'm sorry, but it is full color book here. All kinds of different documentation in the book, pictures and references and everything that we have done up there that goes along with our YouTube series Finding Hiding. So if you guys have not checked this out, Bigfoot is Hiding. It is available now on Amazon.com. Search Bigfoot is Hiding or Barnaby Jones book Bigfoot, and you'll find it. The incredible true story of strange activities in Michigan's Upper Peninsula, as told by Barb and Craig Salk and myself. Coming up, guys, if you want to see us in person, we have a lot of events coming up in 2024. The first of which looks like it's going to be the Hodag Heritage Festival. That's right. And that is going to be at Pioneer Park in Rhinelander, Wisconsin. And it is the fourth year, I believe, fourth annual. And I think I am speaking again. I know we have a vendor booth. Chad Lewis is going to be there. It's going to be a great event. The Hodag guys. And speaking of Rhinelander and Hodags and stuff, brand new out in time for Christmas is the new episode on our YouTube channel. It is Pioneer Spirits of the Logging Age, and it was filmed at Pioneer Park in Rhinelander, Wisconsin, and it is some really cool ghost and paranormal investigation that we got to do at the Pioneer Park Historical Complex Museum there. So tons of stuff. Go to our YouTube channel and subscribe. Check that out. And also, guys, coming up is the annual Marinette Menominee Bigfoot and Paranormal Convention. Rich Daniels, Doug Hychek, Chad Lewis, and myself are going to be the speakers this year. It's going to be a lot of Bigfoot this year. I know we had a lot of paranormal last year because that's what the committee wanted, and people were not very happy with that. And I'm very sorry for that. This year is very Bigfooty, with a little Chad Lewis sprinkled on for good measure. So we are offering you the opportunity to come out and Bigfoot with myself and Rich Daniels. And that is going to be May 31st, the night before the convention. And we are going to be taking you guys out onto the Hiding Adventure property. You will actually get to go onto the property, which is very rare for the public to have access to it. And we are going to take you out Bigfooting. We're going to show you some interesting sights and some of the stuff that we got there. And then the next day, we have the convention, June 1st. So it's going to be a great two-day event. Angela Zabel, not featured on the poster, unfortunately, is also going to be there. And she is going to be doing a medium gallery reading the night of the convention, so June 1st. And you can get all the tickets there. Head on over to Facebook and check out the Marinette Menominee Bigfoot and Paranormal Convention, or go to wisconsincaps.com and click on the banner that says Marinette Menominee Bigfoot and Paranormal Convention. There you can find tickets and information and all of that cool stuff. That is it. That's all I got. That's a lot already. But yeah. So I think that's it. So we also have a brand new show streaming live now on our YouTube channel. The one and only Stephanie Lynn, Spirit Medium, has her show will now be broadcast live every Wednesday night on WisconsinCaps.com, and it is called Soul Flight. I think she's on her fifth episode, and she streamed her first episode on our channel last week. So the next episode will, I think, be next week. I don't think she has one this week. I'm not sure. But so definitely check that out. Stephanie is an amazing psychic medium, along with our also Ellie Wiesenthal, who is another medium on our team. And I think her first episode was Stephanie and Ellie were talking about how Ellie got involved in, you know, the paranormal to begin with and being a medium. And it's a really good episode. If you guys have not checked it out, you can watch that on our channel. Look for our playlists and click on Soul Flight. So that's really cool, guys. Make sure you check that out as well. I mean, there's so much stuff going on here at Cryptids, Anomalies, and the Paranormal Society. Our very own team member, Resnick, also has his own paranormal and Bigfoot podcast as well out. It is called Red Road Paranormal, and it is with his co-host Christina Bloom, who is another amazing spirit medium. I have seen her in person do her thing, and it is legit. You got to check these guys out. So Red Road Paranormal, you can also find links to that on our YouTube page. You can find a whole playlist there. And if you're not watching my other show, Monsters on the Edge, that premieres every Monday. It goes live, and then you can watch that on the Untold Radio Network, wherever you subscribe to podcasts. And you can also find that on our YouTube channel, Wisconsin Caps. My gosh. That's what's been up with us. So a lot of cool stuff. We got Spirits of Menominee, a three-part documentary series is coming out January, February, and March of this coming year, 2024. And those episodes will stream on our YouTube channel, respectively in January, February, March. And we also have Spirits of Macville, which is finally coming to fruition. And that's going to be coming out soon. We have new episodes of Finding Haydn coming out. There's a lot of stuff going on, guys. Like I said, our brand new episode of Caps Road Trip just came out. Oh my gosh, excuse me. So we have all this stuff and more on our YouTube channel. If you haven't checked it out, check it out. Are you interested in the paranormal, ghosts, spirits, and the metaphysical? How about Mothman, Bigfoot, and other cryptids? What about UFOs, UAPs, and other anomalous phenomenon? Then you need to check out Cryptids, Anomalies, and the Paranormal Society. We have all that and more. Watch our series, Caps Road Trip, where we travel across the U.S. in search of these phenomena and bring you not only the history of these locations, events, and encounters, but evidence that we capture along the way. Alongside our team of researchers and investigators, you never know who will be joining in on the investigations. Are you interested in Bigfoot in Upper Michigan? Check out Finding Haydn, a series documenting the Sasquatch activity on a very special 80-acre property just outside of Menominee that has been a hotspot since 2012. Want even more? Check out our podcasts. Whispers from the Dark is the official podcast of Cryptids, Anomalies, and the Paranormal Society and brings you interviews with the top names in the field of paranormal to cryptids and more. Hear witnesses' accounts and go in-depth with the CAPS team to hear more about our ongoing research. Are you more into cryptids? Find links to our all-cryptid show, Monsters on the Edge, on the Untold Radio Network. If you're into spooky, subscribe now and you won't miss a minute of our brand new series coming soon, Spirits of Macville. Follow along as we uncover the haunted history dating back to 1877 of a very well-known location you may have never guessed would be haunted. head on over to YouTube and hit that subscribe button, and you won't miss a minute. Always cool stuff. So much stuff that we got going on. I mean, that's why we haven't had a Whispers from the Dark episode for a while. I apologize to you guys, our loyal listeners that have been following along with that. But today we have an interview for you, or I have an interview for you, that I recorded in Glenbeulah, Wisconsin at the Great Lakes Paranormal Convention. And it's about a guy who had a really weird encounter with a UFO. And it's a great interview, and I really hope that you guys enjoy it. So I'm going to cut out of here, and hopefully I get to talk to you guys again soon. But until then, I hope you enjoy this interview.
My name's Jason Harder. I grew up in Wisconsin my whole life. Grew up in between Chilton and Hilbert on a farm. It was Kill Snake Road, so it was always a unique name. And we lived about 200 yards or so, maybe 250 yards or so from the church. It was a country church down the road. So my whole life I spent biking up and down that road. I'd play in the cemetery when I was a kid, even. I don't know what I was thinking, but I did that with my friends and sometimes by myself. But anyways, just kind of that's where I was my whole life. Now I live in Sheboygan. I'm a teacher, married, have three daughters. I guess normally, I mean, I've been a football coach for many years. I'm pretty busy with other things, so I probably normally would find this topic somewhat interesting, but probably put a whole lot of time into it, with the exception of the fact that I had some, I guess, unexplainable things happen and experiences that I had that kind of rocked that, I guess, a little bit. And it's just always has been there. And with all the latest UFO stuff that's been out there, I guess it's just made me think that maybe there'll be some sort of answer as to what the heck it was that my friend and I saw that day. So anyways, yeah, that's
all I have there. Absolutely. Yeah, there's definitely some weird stuff going on in the news, and just it's a very interesting time to be alive and just everything that's happening right now. So with that being said, if you're, willing, tell us what the first thing that happened to you, and as much detail as you care to share about it.
Okay, sure. Yeah, it was a summer day, and I don't remember exactly what day of the week. I couldn't tell you what year. I was probably somewhere between 8 or 9 years old, maybe 10. And we were my grandmother's house was across the street from our house, or the farm. It was two farms. And then there's a third farm, but that's irrelevant. And then you get further west on Kill Snake Road, because it ran east-west, a little bit further west, just kind of up a hill. Again, about 150 yards from my grandma's house, there's our church. And the cemetery was on our side of the road, which is the south side of the road. North side of the road was my grandma's house, and then that's where the church was. And we'd frequently, with my friends, we'd go over and we'd play at my grandma's house and go behind the barn and go out in the fields and come back and we do all that stuff. So this was somewhere in the mid to late 80s. We're kids, and I think once it happened, we just ran back, and I think we really honestly just tried to forget about it, because we didn't tell anybody. I think we just thought our parents would yell at us. So I think we just tried to forget about it. And then when we got older, probably high school, late high school years, and then young adulthood, we would, I'd see him, and we would kind of, one of us would always bring it up, and then we'd talk about it a little bit more, and like, okay, so it actually happened. So so we were kids, we were at my grandmother's house, and we were just playing behind the barn and coming behind the shed, and that's really that's on the same side as where the church is. And as we made our way through this kind of this evergreen kind of front yard, where there's a bunch of evergreen trees, we kind of made our way through that area and then down through the ditch, and then we were crossing the road, and we both stopped. We didn't stop because we heard anything. We just stopped. You know how you just feel like something or somebody is there, and you kind of look and you acknowledge, oh yeah, there's somebody there. It's kind of one of those things, because this thing didn't make any noise. We got halfway across the road, and we kind of looked over, and flying, just literally coming across the road, probably, I don't know, these power lines here, what are they, 30 feet, over this building, this school here, Our church steeple wasn't much taller than that, and this thing flew probably only 10 feet taller, higher than that. So I guess if it was at night, you know how some people say there's this light and I just knew it was a UFO, and sometimes I kind of like, okay, whatever, right? You're hoping, you're like, you might be hoping it was a UFO, but for us, there was no mistaking whatever this thing was. It was right there. So that it was during the day. I remember it being completely blue sky. Again, it wouldn't have mattered, I guess, if there were clouds, because it would have flown so, it was flying so low. So we both looked at it. We saw it. It slowly just rotated. It was the shape of a fidget spinner. And at each end of the little whatever arms or the little whatever things that stick out like a fidget spinner were these little towers. And then in the middle was a two-tiered tower. It was probably 50 to 60 feet across. Big enough that, you know, people could be standing in it, I guess. You could add people inside of this thing. So it just floated across and rotated and went and stopped above our church and then kind of rotated out. And we saw it. We immediately ran back under the covers of the trees, and we just watched it. And we watched it hover there. And then it went around and it started going into a southwesterly direction. And we kind of watched it until we thought, you know, we could still see it. And then it came back. And I remember thinking when it started coming back, like, we're in for it. For whatever reason, I just remember being scared, like, oh, it's coming back. And I don't remember saying anything to him. I don't remember us talking back and forth. I think we just stared at it with our mouths open. And then it came back again over the church a second time. And it wasn't moving very fast. So this was probably a matter of, I don't know, 10 minutes. But we didn't have watches. We didn't have cell phones at that time. We were just two kids playing, playing war probably in the backyard, and came back over the church again. And then it went off in that southwesterly direction again. It never went higher, never went lower. And it never sped up. It just stayed at that same thing. And it just kind of slightly rotated as it flew. And then we watched it till we couldn't see it. And then we ran back to my house and went inside. And I think at that point, my memory just goes, that's it, done. Not going to try to think about that. So anyways, yeah, that was, it was kind of a silverish blue, like a light, light blue. In the middle, it had windows in it, in each of the towers in the middle and on the ends. And they were, I don't know, they weren't big windows. And I remember watching it, and they were lit up. They had different colors, like red, blue, green, and there were lights flashing on it. And I remember looking in the windows, because they looked like windows, even though you couldn't really see. They didn't look like windows in a building. Uh-huh. And I remember looking and this thought, like, I wonder if I could see somebody inside. And we couldn't see anything. They were just lights or just windows that weren't, that were kind of lit up and kind of blinking, but it wasn't like super bright. And yeah, never heard it make any sound at all. And there weren't any propellers. There wasn't any jet exhaust. There wasn't anything. And it was big, right? It was big enough that you could have had, you know, maybe several people inside of it. And it just flew over a church twice and then flew off. So yeah, and it took years. It took years before him and I talked about it. And then before I even told anybody else, because again, at that time, you talk about UFOs and people think you're crazy. So now I guess at this age, I don't care anymore. I'm like, I don't know what the heck was that. You know, sometimes being a Bible guy, you know, is that what some of those weird things are described in the Bible? I don't know. You know, who knows? Or anyways, yeah, that was that experience. That was probably the most impactful one that I had ever had, aside from a few of those other weird things that happened in the house.
Now, I know you didn't, I don't want you to have to give away how old you are or anything, but you know, about what year would you say that was? You said you were like 8 or 9, but.
Yeah, so I keep guessing. I go back probably like 86 or 87, 1986 okay. or 87, somewhere around there.
So late 80s.
Yeah, late 80s, okay. Yep. And then they have these databases now where people put on their sightings. And, you know, you try to look, and I went through those and I'd look and I try to find if anybody else reported something at that time period in that area. Nothing. I don't understand how nobody else didn't, somebody had to have seen it. It's not like this thing was way up in the sky. I mean, it was right there. It flew around. There wasn't some other farmer out there doing something. And like, what the heck is that? Mm-hmm. I don't know. Like, but nobody had ever taught, like, who's, but again, if somebody else saw it at that time, these were some pretty, you know, farm, they're not going to go and talk about that.
Well, if you were the two kids out there that saw this, you got to think that everyone else is a lot older at that time.
Yeah.
And a lot of those people, how many of them do you think are actually going to come forward and go to an online database to report something like this?
Yeah.
You know, so it kind of makes sense under that fact, but you know, I absolutely appreciate you sharing the story about that. Mm-hmm. Have you ever, I mean, like listening to your description of this, I've never heard of a craft shape like that before. When you were looking into this and kind of looking for reports and that, have you come across any other shape like that?
No. And I looked, and when I, so I didn't like, I know there's other podcasters and other people that get into this stuff. And so I kind of went down that avenue, I don't know, a couple months ago and started like, oh, okay, this person's into UFOs. So I sent that video, or I sent a picture, and it's a terrible drawing, but it's hard to draw, and I'm not a very good drawer. My kids make fun of me at school, make stick figures and stuff, but it's such a weird shape. So I sent it to, and I don't know who, you know, like which ones you're familiar with, but like Ryan Sprague on the Somewhere in the Skies or whatever. And he was like, oh, it's really interesting. And he wanted me to share it sometime. We just haven't been able to hook up. And then I can't remember somebody, there's a couple other ones too. And I'm like, have you, in all of your research, cause you're doing more than I am. I mean, I looked on these databases, but I couldn't find anything. It was all pretty much the same type of thing. Some sort of disc or some sort of top hat or triangles, right? You got those triangles. So, but yeah.
Tic-tacs now.
Oh yeah. The tic-tac. Yep. That's the other one. That was another big one. So anyways, yeah, nothing ever like that. And a few other ones too. The other podcasters too that do all this research, and nobody's ever come across this.
So one of my other questions here is, you said it's like a fidget spinner. So a fidget spinner typically has, what, three arms?
Yep.
Is that what you're picturing?
Okay. Yep.
So we kind of have that triangular shape.
Yeah. Yep.
So when you're looking at it, you're obviously looking up at it at this point.
Yep.
At the, not the corners, at the balls of the fidget spinner, do you notice lights under those at all?
Nope.
Is there any lights underneath the craft?
No, nope. It was smooth. Okay. It was just smooth, like, and just everything was closed up.
Okay.
So, yep.
Yeah, because I'm wondering, like, these people that see these at night, the triangles and stuff.
Yeah.
If they're not able to see the craft and it's just dark, let's say that the object that you saw had the three lights on it that everyone's reporting as a triangle, this could be the same craft and people are just not seeing it. But if you're not the lights in your case, mm-hmm. then that kind of rules it out. But it's definitely a thought to go down.
And maybe since it was during the day, that it could have been illuminated at night, mm-hmm. but during the day I didn't have any. The only lights were like kind of blinking on top. There's a few on top of the corners, and then there were some of the lights that looked like windows that weren't really bright, kind of a dull light. Okay. So again, I just remember having the impression that I remember kind of looking and see, I wonder if I could see somebody inside. And part of me was like, I don't know if I want to see somebody inside because it's not something that is supposed to be there. So,
Now, what are you thinking when this thing is going over? Are you kind of just more interested in it, or were you like afraid of it? Did you have any kind of, you know, for lack of a better term, like a telepathic connection of like, were you getting anything off of this thing or?
I remember being scared. I remember just being scared because it was just weird. It just wasn't, again, it was just kind of completely unexpected. This particular friend, his family would always tell us, would tell us scary stories to scare us. And I'm pretty sure they were all made up because they like to scare little kids. But really other than that, I personally didn't really, I don't know. I like listening to the stories, but I really wasn't that into those. And I don't remember even thinking about UFOs very much at all at that time, or even being something that I thought of or was really interested in, I guess. Mm-hmm. So I guess when I saw it, I understood that, you know, this is a UFO. This is this must be what it looks like. And just kind of being scared, but not like a primal fear. You know, we were just like, that's a kind different
of more
kind
like
of
a shock.
Yeah, just more like a shock, afraid. And I do remember when it came back, feeling like, oh man, you know, yeah, like, oh,
the dread.
Yep, here we go. What's going to happen now? It was just so odd. But when I think back now, I don't feel afraid about it. I don't feel like it was threatening or anything like that. It was just the moment of seeing something that shouldn't normally be there, I guess, that was there, being a kid. So
fascinating. That's awesome. So then you said you had a second encounter later on. So this was like when you were 8 or 9, and then the other one is after that, correct?
Yeah. These had to have been pretty close, because this was, the other one was the kind of that, like that, whatever that, I don't know, it wasn't really a diamond, but it was just this thing that kind of showed up. So I was at a different friend's house. And I don't know, sometimes I wonder if I dreamt this, or if this, you know, I keep thinking, well, maybe I just dreamt this and I can just pass it off. But then I specifically remember the look on this, my other friend's face when he saw it. So it's like, it wasn't just lights that were like a car driving by and the lights coming through the window. And then he actually got up and ran, got after it. Mm-hmm. And then it just disappeared. So it had to be more than just that. So yeah, I was sleeping over at a friend's house, and a close family friend. And I just remember waking up, you know, kids, we're sleeping, we're pretty young. And I woke up in the middle of the night, and we're, you know, sleeping in the same bed, and just look over, and across his room, and it wasn't a very big room, in front of his closet, is this, I guess, this light, and it was kind of in the shape of a kite, I guess, is the best way to describe it, or you know, like a square tipped on its ends or on its points. And it was brighter in the middle, and the further you got to the edges, I guess, it kind of dimmed out a little bit.
Spark.
Kinda, yeah, yeah. And I don't know how else to, but it was like, it was that shape. It was like a square, and it was tipped, and the, you know, the corners were top and side to side, and I guess kind of, I don't know, kite shaped, diamond shaped, whatever people envision when they think of that. But that's kind of what it looked like. And it was just this, I don't know, it wasn't pulsating, but I don't know how else to describe it, but kind of like a pulsating light, where it was, it's not like if that car, you know, cars turned on and those lights would just be flashing at us. It was more of like a, man, it's really hard to describe.
Pulsing glow?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, right. Yeah, it was glow. And it was weird because I don't remember it actually lighting up the room. I just remember it being there, and it was this box or this diamond of light, and it just was there. And it didn't make, again, no, there wasn't any sound. It was just like, holy crap, what the heck is this? You know, again, what is this doing here? It was multiple lights, but it was mostly, it was like all the colors were there, but it was mostly kind of a bluish, greenish, aqua, and then it would kind of, I don't know, I don't want to say the colors changed. It's just, it was really hard to look at and determine those things. But it was just a light.
Like a prism.
Kind of, yeah. Okay. Yeah, it could be like a prism.
See, yeah, this is going to be hard to explain too, but you know, like they make those kind of silver wrapping paper or sheets of like poster board.
Yeah.
And they kind of opalescent, kind of shimmer like that when you turn it different ways.
Yeah, yeah,
like that.
That's a good way to describe it. Okay. Yeah, sorry, I'm not.
No, I'm just trying to help, man.
Thank you. No, I appreciate that.
Painting pictures with audio.
Yeah, yep, yeah. That's a good way to put it. Yeah, it just, and again, it shocked me. I was, what the heck? I was scared. I nudged my friend, and like he, and I remember him kind of wake. You know, when somebody wakes up and he looks at me, and then he looks past me, because I was in the front and he was kind of against the wall. His bed was kind of up against the wall and in this corner. And he saw it, and his eyes got huge, and he kind of jumped back and up against the wall, and like, holy, you know, like, okay, so this is really here. This is really happening. And I kind of look at him, and I look over at this, whatever this thing is. And I look at him, and he kind of looks at me, and he jumps out of bed, and he grabs, I think it was a bat. He had like a, you know, like those T-ball bats that were kind of leaned up against the wall. And he takes it, and he swings at it. and it disappears, and he hits his closet door. And then I jump out of bed, and we look, and we go through his closet, and like this thing went in his closet. It didn't. It just vanished. But we're kids. We don't know any better, so we start looking through. There's nothing there, and we're just like, what the heck? And then he put a nice mark on his door, and his mom came in, and we're like the next day, and we didn't tell her. Like we didn't say anything. We're just like I don't know. We made up something as kids. But we don't say, like, there was this glowing square in his room last night, and we attacked it. I don't know. I don't know. Yeah. What do you say to that? Again, at that time, you're just like, whatever. You know, their parents just, parents were a little tougher on us back then. So.
Absolutely. What do you, I love the fact that your first, his first reaction is to swing at it with a baseball bat.
Yeah. Yeah, we're a little different, different mindset, but I don't know.
So you guys are both asleep at the time, right? Or how did you?
I woke up first.
Okay, do you remember anything like why you woke up?
Nope.
No, you just woke up and saw this thing there.
Yep.
Okay. And how big would you say this thing was?
Let's see.
Like from bottom tip to the top tip.
It was hovering, so it didn't touch the ground. So the bottom corner was probably 6 to 10 inches up off the floor. So it was kind of hovering there. And from tip to tip, I don't know, 5 feet.
Okay, so it was pretty
big.
And
then it was probably about, 4.5, 5 feet. And then another 3.5, 4 feet in width from the corner to corner on the edges.
So pretty almost much the whole door frame, like the whole door.
Yeah. Yep.
Wow.
Yeah. So yeah, it was sizable. It wasn't small. It was, about as big as a person, but a little wider because of the corners. So if you take a cube or something, and you tip it on one of its corners. That's about.
So it wasn't at all like a window, like this was like. Well, okay. Let me ask you this: was it illuminating the room, or was it lit up?
It was lit up, and I don't remember it. When I think back to this, I don't remember it lighting up the room. I remember the rest of the room still being dark, except for this thing that was lit, but it didn't
project light
on us or on the walls.
Okay. Do you remember it being mostly like flat, or did it have like kind of, was it a 3D diamond instead of just a flat diamond? Like, do you think there was something behind it? Or
it looked more flat. Okay. It did not look three-dimensional.
Like a window.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I don't know. I couldn't tell you how thick it was, but I didn't get the impression that it was very thick.
Okay.
It was just kind of there, and I don't know. I guess it was thinner, but I don't know. I don't know what passed it, so, or what, how much depth it might have had, but it didn't appear to have any depth.
Okay. Well, it's interesting because when you started this story, you were talking about how you didn't know if this was a dream or anything like that, or you made it up or whatever. But the fact that the next day, when you have this physical evidence of the baseball bat being slammed into the door frame, you obviously have something happened.
Yeah.
Something was there that, got your friend out of bed to physically interact with this thing, which leads credence to, okay, so you didn't make it up because he obviously saw it, and it wasn't a dream that you saw him do it.
Yeah.
Because you have this physical evidence again the next day when you wake up. So the next day happens, and you obviously didn't tell, his mom or anything. Did you guys discuss what happened?
Not really. No, I don't remember us talking about it at all. I remember getting up, and then his mom coming in and asking what happened, because there was a gash or a gash and a dent in the closet door. And I looked at each other and just, I don't know, we hit it with a bat. Oh, well, what were you doing hitting it with a bat? I don't know. We just swung and, just got out of hand and hit the door. Okay.
I'm wondering what happened that if he swung that bat and hit the door pretty hard enough to leave a mark that nobody came to investigate in the night either.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, nobody got up. Parents, and I don't remember the layout of the house. I just remember being, my memory of the whole thing is just being in his house, being in his room and waking up, having that happen, and then the next morning the conversation with his mom, I'm sure, I know she made breakfast for us and stuff. I remember during the day we rode bikes around his property and just that type of thing. But
was that the next day or the day that day?
It could have been the day of, or it could have been the next day, because it was, I was over there for part of the first day and slept over the next. But yeah, other than that, so the memories really just, yeah, just
typical
regular kid stuff.
Went along the rest of your day there.
Yeah. It's just like, I know. No. Yeah. So again, you just kind of like, yeah, something like that happens. And then you, I guess, just at the time, you don't talk about it, because mm-hmm. nobody really wanted to, you know, you just knew nobody would believe you anyways. So
let's, I'm asking these questions because somebody out there that knows more about this and, you know, wants to, there's 100 questions that I can ask you about this stuff. Sure. And I'm trying to cover all the bases for anybody that, you know, is working on these projects or, you know, has mm-hmm. a similar experience. And, you know, because mm-hmm. a lot of the times people share these stories or listen to these stories because it's therapeutic.
Yeah.
They like to hear that they're not alone, that someone else has experienced this. So after the baseball bat got swung into the door, did you guys just lay back down and go right to sleep? Or was there a, you know, you said you kind of looked through the closet and stuff, but mm-hmm. First of all that, and do you have any idea of when this happened? Was it right after you went to bed, the dead of the night, earlier the next morning? Was the sun coming up? Any information on that?
That's a good question. So I would have to say it was probably somewhere between the middle of the night. So like, I don't know, 11, somewhere between 11 and 1.
Okay.
I feel like the only reason I say that is because after it happened, I feel like we went back to sleep and got a whole like sleep cycle in, or had slept a good amount.
Gotcha.
But again, that's just going back and trying to remember that detail, you know, 30 some years later.
No, yeah, so, I totally get it, man. I get it.
Yeah. I remember when it was done and when we dug through his closet and he looked at me, and he's just, you know, he's just one of those guys that, you know, some people have just very distinct facial reactions, and he just kind of had this look of kind of a half smirk, but just astonishment, like, you know, just kind of one of those where like, did that just happen? And we just kind of looked at each other. I don't know if we said any. I don't remember if we said anything. And we had to have gone. We went back to bed. Then went back to sleep. That was it. Like maybe we might have kind of milled around a little bit. But I don't remember any of that. I just remember waking up, seeing it, waking him up. The look on his face, and then him grabbing the bat, or grabbing something that he could swing. That's like a bat. And it had to have been. I mean, we're kids, and that's what we had in our rooms was, you know, footballs and basketballs and bats and things. And just grabbed it and wham, swung through it and
I love that reaction, though, I got to say. What's that? Hit it with a bat. I don't know.
Yeah.
So, okay, now on a psychological standpoint, when you saw this thing, you woke up. A lot of people, I'm sure, are listening and thinking, do you have any of the sleep paralysis? You can obviously move right away because you woke him up.
Yeah.
So do you remember being like frozen by this thing, or in shock, or just what the heck is that? Hey, wake up. What is this?
Yeah, I think it's the last one. I think I woke up, looked at it. I don't know how much time. It wasn't much time where I looked at it. I feel like I looked at the window because it was this light in the room, and looked and to see if
just
a car,
like,
or
a reflection
light was coming
or something
through.
Yeah.
And there wasn't. And it was still just there. And then I woke up. Then I woke up my friend. And then kind of everything kind of transpired after that. So
Gotcha.
I mean, I think about these things, and I know I've listened to a lot of them myself now. Sometimes I go to sleep and I listen to some of these podcasts. And it, like you said, it's therapeutic. Because mm-hmm. for a while, when you know that not a lot of your friends or family really want to listen to this and or believe you, you know, it is therapeutic to listen to or to share it with people who kind of want to listen to it. Because if I wanted to make up a story like this, I don't think I could.
No, yeah.
I don't think I could even, if I was going to sit around and try to think of something profound that happened to me in my life, these would not be the things I would choose to. I'm a sports guy. I would rather make up some sort of grand football story where, you know, I scored some winning touchdown or something. That'd be more up my alley. Not either of these two things, because yeah, it just, it's yeah. not my thing.
I think a lot of people are wishing that they weren't in your shoes or that they didn't have experiences like this. I had, I did an interview for NPR, and a guy called in and he said, okay, I was driving down the road and I saw something in the middle of the road. And I'm like, oh, I saw Bigfoot. Here we go. I'm all on this. And he goes, and it was in the middle of the road and it was kind of like a window. And I'm like, oh, it was a spaceship. And he goes, no, it was a hole and I could see daylight in the middle of the night. And he goes, what was that? And I went, man, I wish I could tell you. I mean, I don't know. I've heard these stories. I've heard of people looking up into the sky and seeing, you know, an actual account of like looking at a castle turrets.
Really?
And there's actual like, what do you call those little flags?
Yeah.
Coming off the tops of these turrets. And they're like, there's a castle just floating in a hole in the sky up here. And, you know, it's just stuff like that that makes you go, what is going on here?
Yeah,
you know,
right.
Is this like glitch in the Matrix or is it, you know, a portal to another dimension or something? And, you know, it's like your story, you know, well, what was that?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's a star that came down and just happened to be in the bedroom or a portal or I wish I could tell you. I just don't know.
Yeah.
You know?
I can't remember who I shared this with. And they said, yeah, I wonder what would happen if you were to jump through it. And I said, I don't know. That probably
the thought has crossed my mind the first time I heard the story. And when you're telling it again, I'm like, I wonder if the bat would have disappeared. Why did swinging the bat at it make it disappear?
Yeah, I don't know.
There's so many inconsistencies, even with like the weird of the mm-hmm. stories and stuff. You know, it's like. Yeah, what if you would have went through it? What if it would have sucked the bat in? Why didn't it suck the bat in? You know, and all right. that stuff. It's just crazy world that we live in. So
yeah, none of it makes any sense, which is, yeah.
I know.
Be nice, to
nice to have answers. Yeah. I know you said you guys didn't really talk about it after that, but you stay friends with this kid. Did he ever have any other stories that he told you, or did anything else ever weird happen with either the first kid or the second kid? Or yourself. Any of the three of you.
The one that we saw, that whatever the square, the diamond thing. Yeah, we kind of kept in touch here and there, but we never brought it up again. I never mm-hmm. asked him. But I think if I do see him, I see his mom goes to church with my parents when they're back in Wisconsin. So I could easily connect with him and ask him just, hey, you know,
by the way.
Yeah. The other one, he's actually the godfather of one of my oldest daughter. So I don't see him very frequently, but we talk enough. And in like last winter, we were going to go meet at Benson's Hideaway or whatever. Mm-hmm. There's that place.
Yep.
And they closed. So yeah. they're not even open because he was like, yeah, let's go talk. And because he's same thing. He's done the same thing. He's went through and looked through all the databases and just trying to find another shaped craft like that. So, so he's still fresh in his mind. And he said he's mentioned other things that has happened because he grew up on that same road. And he said he thought there was something weird with that whole area. And I don't know. I didn't really think much of it until my sister had brought up that she felt growing up that the house we grew up in was haunted as well. And so anyways, this friend that grew up down the street, he said he had him and his brother actually had some weird experiences that they didn't know either of them had until they had talked about it. Now that they're both men and adults, and then they're like, wait, that happened to you too? And kind of one of those things. So I haven't had a chance to ask them specifically what those experiences were. So I don't know. I'm guessing maybe they're similar to what my sister and I had with people walking around in our house when there's nobody there.
Do you want to talk about that at all? Or
yeah, I mean, that, there are dozens of times. And I think there's times where I was completely freaked.
Let me ask you this quick. The house where the UFO happened, the fidget spinner guy,
yep.
That's the same house that you had the haunting happen?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Yep. Carry on.
Yeah, that's all in the same farmhouse and everything. So, okay. And then even my daughters, when they'd go and play in the barn when they were little, they tell me, Dad, I think there was people in there. There's things going on, and I'm like, whatever, you know. But I was doing the dad thing, yeah, whatever. And here I am, and all this other stupid stuff happened to me.
And
I
here at least, we are talking about it.
Yeah.
Oh, I should have listened to him. There's nothing in the barn.
Yeah. So, anyways, yeah, at our house, I remember most of it in the house, and just just dumb stuff like being downstairs, and when somebody it was very distinct when somebody was upstairs in my parents' room and they walked across that room and you were downstairs in the dining room of our house, you like it was 100% that there was somebody up there. Like, you just have those houses like that, and it was just that room just happened to be kind of like the floor kind of bowed down a little bit, and then it kind of actually went up, and then the hallway went, you kind of go down the hallway and turn a corner and go down some stairs. And so when somebody walked across their room, it was, there's somebody up there. Somebody's up there, right? Mm-hmm. So I had several times that I remember being downstairs and hearing the footsteps go across. And sometimes it was, huh, mom must be home. Or dad, it's probably my mom up there. And then I'd wait and she wouldn't come down. And then I'd go up there and mom. And I'd go up there and nobody's up there. Other times where I knew nobody was home, and I heard somebody walk across the upstairs. And again, sometimes I was completely freaked out and I'd leave and just get out and go outside. Other times, I'd be like, I must be hearing things. It was enough that when you'd hear it as I got older, I just kind of try to reason and rationalize it away. When I was younger, most of the time I was like, what the heck? And I was really just scared, because in your mind, starts racing as a little kid. Mm-hmm. Other ones where I slept upstairs. And so there's a room that was at the top of the stairs, and there's another room that I had that was down a hallway a little ways and on the other end of where the stairs came up. So I remember hearing footsteps come up the stairs. I remember hearing them come down the stairs. I remember hearing them come up and standing in my room, coming up to my room and walking into my room and then stopping by my bed. I remember being in the other room and hearing them come up the stairs, turn the corner and walk down the hallway and then into my parents' room. Again, then you'd hear the distinct footsteps. Mm-hmm. And then I think somebody came upstairs, and then I'd go in there and nobody would be there. Or them coming up and stopping like in the doorway. And sometimes I'd look and nobody would be there. And sometimes I'd just sit there and be scared. It's any number of things when you're a kid. That go through your mind. But there was enough of that went on a regular basis that I had all sorts of reactions. And it was at all ages, little kid through high schooler. Those things just always happen. So
you don't think that they happened before and after the encounters the other time?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. It was just kind of a normal thing that happened there. My sister, when I was really little, I slept out. We get to the top of the stairs, there was kind of this hallway. And when I was really little, I slept out in that hallway. And then I would always be too scared. I don't remember anything, but that's where my sister's like, I bet there's things going on out there that got you scared, because you'd never wanted to sleep out there by yourself. And I don't remember. I was really little, so I don't remember any of that. But that was her thing, yeah, where she had similar experiences that had happened. And that shocked me when she told me that. Just a few years ago, that she had those experiences, and she just flat out said that house is haunted. And then I was like, then all these other memories, I'm like, oh man, mm-hmm. Okay. Oh yeah, I remember weird things happening there, but you just kind of, I don't know, you either just try to forget about them or you try to rationalize it. Yeah, try to rationalize it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So
have you had anything now in your adult life, in your homes that you've lived in since then, or was it all just associated with that house?
Nope, just pretty much at that house, and nothing ever since. Nothing else. There are plenty of times where I in frustration would just kind of go out and just be like, "What the heck? You know, can it just show up again? Can you, this whatever that fidget spinner thing is? Can you just show up one more time? Can I just see it one more time? If is that possible? Is it something that happens that can even hear me and understand me? Was it just happenstance that was there? I don't know." You know, your mind starts going through all sorts of different whys, and, you know, I think my life would be a lot less complicated without having had that experience.
I bet. Absolutely. You know. Has it had a negative impact on your life?
I don't know if it's negative, but it was just kind of, I think, the negative side would be when you kind of share something like that with somebody and then they don't believe you. Mm-hmm. And I get it. I mean, I've heard some too, where you kind of roll your eyes and like, you want to, you know, you want this to be something. I didn't want this to be, you know, I didn't want this to be something. I didn't really want to see something like that. Mm-hmm. And it just happened. And so you try to share that with somebody and then they kind of like, whatever, you know, you kind of, it's just agitating, you know? Mm-hmm. So that's why you don't really talk about it. And that's why probably we didn't talk about it when we were kids.
Yeah.
Because that's kind of that's the worldview. That's what it was at that time. You know, UFOs, what, or mm-hmm. ghosts in your house? No, come on. Go to sleep, Jason. You know, I mean, I'd get yelled at. My mom would get so mad because I didn't want to sleep. I'd be crying all the time. So, but.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
That's a fascinating story. Like I said, I mean, I've heard a lot of UFO stories. I've listened to a lot of podcasts and shows and stuff, and I've never heard that before. Mm-hmm. Like I said, that's why I was trying to like rationalize it with these triangle shaped UFOs with the lights and stuff. But
yeah.
that's interesting. I'm definitely gonna look into this and sure. see if I can find anybody else with a similar story or drawings or anything like this.
Okay.
And if I do, I'll pass it on to you. And sure. if anybody listening has had a similar story mm-hmm. or knows of a story or something, send it to me, WisconsinCaps, spelled out at gmail.com for our show. And I'll pass that on to you as well. So
okay.
I definitely interested in it. So.
All right. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you for listening.
Thank you.
I appreciate that. So.
All right. Have a good day, man.
Yep. You too.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode of Whispers from the Dark. To find out more about cryptids, anomalies, and the Paranormal Society, visit us at our website at wisconsincaps.com. That's wisconsincaps.com. There you can find links to all of our social media, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, and our Patreon. You will see links to our online store as well, where you can get t-shirts, DVDs, and more. If you click on the public events page, you can find out where you can meet us in person and all the public events we have coming up. If you enjoy our podcast or our YouTube shows, please consider becoming a Patreon at patreon.com/WisconsinCaps. There you can find behind-the-scenes pictures and videos from all of our media, as well as bonus footage and evidence that we have collected. If you have encountered something you can't explain, we want to hear from you. Visit our website and click on Submit a Report on our main screen. You can choose to leave your contact information or simply remain anonymous. You can also reach us via email at wisconsincaps@gmail.com. If you would like to be a guest on our show, please contact us on our Whispers from the Dark podcast page on Facebook, or send us an email at wisconsincaps.com. Remember to like, share, and subscribe wherever you listen or watch or find us.